How would you describe your attitude this morning? Whiny and complaining? Or grateful and thankful to the Lord Most High? Don't raise your hand. I'm asking because as we look at the early church, now I want to pause and look at them on one aspect this morning before we carry on in Acts chapter 3. They were a grateful church. They were a thankful church. That made them stand apart. How many of you know we live in a world that'll give you 10 reasons to complain for every one reason to be thankful? This place, this body should be different. How do I know they were a grateful body? Because over and over in the book of Acts, we're told they were filled with the Spirit. And in Ephesians 5:18, where it talks about being filled with the Spirit, you know what one of the symptoms is? Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we a thankful people? Or are we like some have said, do we look like those who someone put vinegar in the communion wine? Are we a thankful people? They weren't just thankful individuals. They were thankful together. I believe that was a vibrant part of their fellowship, coming together and sharing with each other. Let me tell you what God did this week. Let me tell you the blessings He's brought in our home. We know it was together because they were devoted to the fellowship with one another. It says they ate together with glad and generous hearts. And I imagine some of those early believers gathering across the table from each other and just sharing. Let me share what happened on Tuesday that God did. Grateful together. That together part, that militates against the individualism that sometimes creeps into even the church. I think about this, and I think about what one author said. She said, Christians can be grouped into two categories, marbles and grapes. Marbles are single units that don't affect each other except in collision. Grapes, on the other hand, mingle juices. Each one is a part of the fragrance of the church body. The early Christians didn't bounce around like loose marbles, ricocheting in all directions. Picture them rather as a cluster of ripe grapes, squeezed together by persecution, bleeding and mingling into one another. And she closes with this. She says, it's sad to think how many Christians today are missing that kind of closeness. Sermons and songs, while uplifting and necessary, don't miss that, provide only part of a vital church encounter. We need involvement with others too. If we roll in and out of church each week without acquiring a few grape juice stains, we haven't really tasted the sweet wine of fellowship. Are we grateful? Are we grateful together? There's so much to be thankful for. We're going to have a morning of gratitude that I hope will invade the attitude of our body at the church next door. An attitude of gratitude. I'll share just two examples that I'm thankful for right now. Maybe your mind will start thinking of what you're thankful for in your life. I'm thankful for someone I talked to two Sundays ago. Someone middle age. Said, I'm so thankful for what we're seeing in the book of Acts about the Holy Spirit. She said, all my growing up years, I never heard about the Holy Spirit. I didn't even know who He was. She said, I'm listening to some of these passages from Acts twice. I'm so excited. I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Someone is learning more about the Lord they love. Let me share another one I'm thankful for. I talked to someone last Saturday that was serving in our church at that memorial service that we did, and this individual grew up in the Mormon church. And she's now a Christian. She's come to meet the true biblical Jesus. And as she's there serving at that luncheon that they put on, she said, "You know, it's so different serving now, knowing that I'm saved because of what Jesus did for me. Resting in that and not trying anymore to earn his favor," because she said it was always like, how much is enough? She said, there's so much more joy now. And then she said this, she was not bragging. Some people would say this and you'd hear him bragging. If you knew this individual, this was not bragging at all. But she said, "I'm so close to God right now, it's scary." I said, "Praise God. He's working in your life. Praise the Lord." What are you thankful for? I want to invite you on this morning of gratitude first to do a responsive reading with me from Psalm 145. If there's a psalm that has this attitude of gratitude, it's Psalm 145. And I pray that the Lord uses his word to bring us into that place. What we're going to do, I'm going to read the parts that are not underlined. Pastor Aaron, nice and loud, is going to lead you all in the italicized underlined part. And it's just right out of Psalm 145. My prayer is that the psalmist's words would become our own words of gratitude. "I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever.
Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable.
One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts.
On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works, I will meditate.
They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness.
They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness." Now, later on this morning, we're going to have time for three or four of you. Maybe the Lord will be moving in your heart right now to come up front and share for two or three minutes what the Lord is doing in your life, what you're thankful for. For now, I want to invite you where you're seated. Where you're seated, we're going to put up a screen. I'll tell you what we're going to do here. I want you to think of at least one thing that you're thankful to the Lord for. Maybe it's something he's been showing you in his word. Maybe it's his provision, spiritually or physically. Maybe it's something he's been showing you in your walk as you walk through a trial. I don't know. But the more specific, the better. I want us to go beyond thanks for the nice weather and that I woke up not hurting this morning. Those are wonderful. And don't miss those. But be as specific as you can and spend a minute or two thanking the Lord in prayer for what he's doing in your life. invite you to read with me as the psalm continues. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made.
All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you.
They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power.
To make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations.
The Lord is faithful in all his word and kind in all his works. Now, I want to invite you into something that at first is going to sound very uncomfortable. And some of you may choose not to do this. It's okay. If you choose not to do this, here's your way out. Just during this time, put your head down in prayer, and that will signify to those around you that you're going to have some one-on-one time with the Lord. No one has to do this. But one of the things I think about is how wonderful would it be if church, and not just Sunday, but anytime the church comes together, whether it's dinner on Tuesday night or a small group or Sunday or prayer meeting, wherever, if we came together eager to share with one another what the Lord was doing in our lives. I think about Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So I look at that stirring up one another and that encouraging one another. There's some interaction there, right? So what I want to encourage you to do, if you're willing to take this step, think back a moment ago to that thing you thank the Lord for. And would you consider, we'll take 2 or 3, 4 minutes here, sharing that with someone sitting next to you in your row. If you don't know them, just say, hey, my name's so-and-so. I want to tell you what I thank the Lord for. Again, if you say, hey, this is not me, put your head down now and pray to the Lord. But I want to invite you, those of you who would be willing to share with one another, because you don't know. That person sitting down the row from you might just need a word of encouragement today. They might need to hear what the Lord did in your life because their week has been trash and they're discouraged. Okay? So I want you to pray about it. Consider sharing what you're thankful for with those down the row from you. We'll take 3 or 4 minutes. Go for it.
If you don't feel.
I got to tell you, all that talking was a blessing to my heart. I did not know what to expect when we put that out there. Were we going to hear crickets? But it started within a second. And I have no idea what all those stories were. But can you imagine if that characterized our church every time we gathered? If like, we all have our go-tos. For me, it's sports. Did you hear about the Cavs? My Cavs lost to the Suns Friday night. Stop clapping. You evil people. Just kidding. No, and it's not wrong to talk about sports or the weather or politics, but what if every week we were intentional to say, Lord, what's one encouraging story from my life that I could bring when we gather together to share with my brothers and sisters? What a testimony would that be to the outside world when they came in here? There's enough complaining out there, right? If they came in here and found gratitude and praise, wouldn't they say there's something different about this bunch? That's a thankful people. Wow, I love that. And I encourage you to continue those conversations after. I also encourage you after this next, we're going to finish this chapter out in responsive reading. If there are three or four of you who have one, you'd be willing to share down front. As we do this responsive reading, just come right over here and line up. And we're just going to have three or four testimonies for all to hear and thank the Lord for what he's doing. But for all of us, I invite you to close out Psalm 145 and read with me. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down.
The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season.
You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and kind in all his works.
The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth.
He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them.
The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy.
My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.
Amen. Are there any who would come and proclaim the Lord's goodness to the congregation? This is your time. I see Heidi back there. Come on down. Come on down, Caitlin. And we got probably time for two or three more after them if you're out there thinking Lord's putting something on your heart.
Thank you. I'm very grateful for the gift God has given me of poetry. Prayer of gratitude. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the heartache. Thank you for the pain. It lets me know that I'm alive. I thank you, God. With my blessings, I thrive. Every breath that I draw is a blessing you gave. I hold you in awe, right to the grave. I follow your guidance, my purpose, not always clear, but my walk is toward you. I put aside fear. Thank you for the challenge. Thank you for the love. I pray for the peace that coos like a dove. I pray for the heart in people to see, feeling your presence within them, being spiritually free.
Amen. Thank you, Heidi. I love that gift of poetry the Lord's given you. All right, Caitlin, come on down. And while she's sharing, if there's anybody else, this is your chance, last call.
So I had a chance to travel recently across the states over to Virginia, so I was flying, and there was turbulence both ways, but on the trip back, specifically, it was so rocky that there was a lady in the down the aisle who I heard say, well, I was looking around for assurance because that one was really scary. And I just reflected on that. I didn't love the turbulence, but I have that assurance that even if it was my time to go, I'm headed to a better place. Don't want it to be this way. But I was really thankful that I have that assurance. And then from there, I just have a lot to be thankful for because we have a good, good God. And I will never not share how thankful I am for the people that he put in my life. I've been very, very blessed by a good and godly friend. And thank you, Lord, all my life. You have been good. And I will never not sing his praises.
Amen. Thank you, Caitlin. I get what you're talking about on those airplanes. We fly to Ohio every year, and it starts rocking and rolling, and I look at the family and say, hey, we're either landing in Cleveland or in heaven. I hope you all have that assurance. John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Any more testimonies of gratitude? Eileen, come on down.
I don't really do this.
You do today, huh?
I'm an introvert, so there's been a lot of turbulence in my life as well, but I've been thankful the entire time. Obviously, with my husband being disabled, it kind of started out that way. And during a dark period of our life, God's always put somebody in my way. And for a while there, I was in the negative realm, seeking Jesus to change things. But of course, God always has his own plans. So at that time, I was seeking counseling because I didn't want to be crushed. And I got in touch with this Christian counselor, and he turned my life around. And he's always said, if you're going to look for the bad things in life, you'll always see them. But if you look for the good in life, you'll find it. And since that day, it turned my life around. And I even share that with people in my office that come in who are negative, anxious, down. And I always say, God is good. I go, if you're looking for the evil, you'll find the evil. If you're looking for the good, you'll find the good in everything. God always gives us a way out. And every time we have a challenge, I always remember, God is good. I'm thankful for the little things, shoes on my feet, roof over my head, food on the table. What more do I need in a bad time? When we get in the car, we always pray. Just get us there safely, no matter what happens. When I hit the deer, going 70 in total my vehicle, but God was with us. Nobody was hurt, and that was the only thing I was thankful for. God's always blessed us, but when I stopped looking for the blessings, it was sucking me down into an evil area, and I don't ever want to go there again, no matter what happens. Childbirth, almost died 3 times, and every time I said, thank you, Lord. I just prayed for the safety of my children and my husband to take care of them. And then I'd wake up and thank you, Lord. I'm still here. So with all the tribulation in my life, there, I can't tell you, there's a whole other day of that. But it's the little things in life that I just have to be thankful for no matter what, always going forward. And I just praise God. So
amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Eileen. Great reminder that all turbulence is not on airplanes. There are many, many kinds of turbulence. Walter.
Coming out of our mouth sometimes. Hello. Anyhow, I just wanted to give a challenge to the men here to step up. You women have done a fine job of expressing what's going on in our church. Seems to be a closer expression to the women in church, and the men have got a lot of feelings too. My dog dropped dead yesterday morning. Just dropped dead, had a mark. And I have to consider how much I meant to my dog. And that gave me some time to reflect on how much do I matter to my church. And being gifted, talented, willing to show up, suit up, for the most part. And yeah, Kid Rock's one of my heroes. Anyhow, I'm just reminded of so much of the scripture that is so plain to read. Take in and then let out. Scott and Daniel have been talking with me and giving me some ministry of things that I already know how to do. I just haven't been willing to that way. So then there's another way. Oh, how about Yahweh? And our Lord has brought the husbands and wives together to be one flesh. And that our teamwork now is with him as one flesh. My wife and I are going through this time of our house isn't empty. It just doesn't have a little dog. It was my wife's second skin under her foot, always seeking to be appeasing to the beta. I was okay with that. My dog loved that. She did everything I needed her to do. But in all this stuff, the turbulence, the boiling of a couple weeks ago, these things are a delight when God, when we come with God and go through it. And I'm reminded of a song called The Father of Lights by Brian Dorkson. And it's, Father of Lights, you delight in your children. And a few years ago, he gave me the opportunity to receive something about the definition of delight. And it came out this way, causing the eyes of the heart to sparkle. So when he delights in his children, the eyes of his heart are sparkling. And know that all these things, this turbulence, and these thankful gratitudes that we have, he delights in if we are following him. And that's why I use there's that way, there's this way, then there's Yahweh. And every time I turn to Yahweh, he's faithful in song, in dance, in expression, in witnessing what's happening in this church and other churches. And I just wanted to let you men know that we could hear from you too. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Walter. Thank you. I'll tell you, it's a blessing, and we don't do this every week. We did here at the congregational meeting that we'd like to have more testimonies as part of why we did this. It's a blessing, and we will continue to provide opportunities, but whether we have it up here or not, I'd encourage us. What if we came every week with that mindset? What could I share that God has done this week with my brothers and sisters? Because some of them may very well need it. Of all the things we're grateful for, I come to one the Lord Jesus himself commanded us to remember, the cross of Jesus Christ, where he died for your sins and mine. I think about the prophecies in the book of Isaiah chapter 53. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Have you received him as the Lamb of God who died and rose again for your sins? If so, in just a moment, we're going to pass communion. I invite you to take that. But before we do, I wanted to share something that I read this week. Many of you know the name John Newton. He was the captain of a slave ship, guilty of all the sin that goes along with that evil practice. He met Jesus, believed in Jesus, and you know he wrote the song Amazing Grace, most of you. If you didn't, next time you read those lyrics, think of them through the eyes of a slave ship captain turned around and turned to Jesus. But he also wrote a poem called Looking at the Cross. I wanted to share that as we prepare our hearts for communion. He said, "Alas, I knew not what I did, but now my tears are vain. Where shall my trembling soul be hid? For I, the Lord, have slain. A second look he gave, which said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I die that thou mayest live. Thus, while his death my sin displays in all its blackest hue, such is the mystery of grace, it seals my pardon too. With pleasing grief and mournful joy, my spirit now is filled, that I should such a life destroy, yet live by him I killed. Father, we thank you for the grace and mercy and wisdom poured out at the cross. We thank you for the victory of the empty tomb and the ascension, and we're going to continue unpacking those, Lord willing, next week as Peter keeps presenting the Savior to his people in Jerusalem. But this morning, I pray that you'd prepare our hearts. If there are any who don't know Christ as their Savior, draw them to the cross. For those of us who do, may we take a moment and examine our hearts. Lay aside any cherished sin. Lay aside any lighthearted ways we come into this remembrance. We want to remember with all of that we are the broken body and spilled blood of our Lord, and praise you for the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Prepare us now as it's past, as we take it together after this song, in Jesus' name.